In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You arrive home one Tuesday afternoon after a long day at work. As you pull up to the house, you stop at the end of the driveway and step out of your car to check the mail. As you sort through the mail, you see the usual stuff. A couple of bills, a few credit card offers, a flyer for the sale down at the furniture store. And that's when you spot it. Something different. Something special, an oversized envelope with a wax seal on the flap, heavy paper with the address inscribed in flowing calligraphy. It's stunningly beautiful, exuding luxury and prestige. There's no return address, but you can tell that this is a special invitation. Without waiting to get into the house, you crack the seal and open the envelope, and inside is an engraved invitation to join the Queen of England for a grand banquet. Your travel arrangements have all been made, all expenses are covered, and you'll travel first class. Before you even consider what you have in the closet for such an event, you note that a gown and shoes and accessories will all be provided for you. You need only to show up. When you call your boss to see if you can have a few days off, you're stunned to discover your employer has already been notified. Arrangements have already been made to cover your responsibilities while you're away. Every detail has been attended to. A few hours later, you are on a plane winging your way across the Atlantic. And when you arrive, you're whisked to a luxurious suite where you have a little bit of downtime to prepare for this amazing honor. You're a little unsure still. You quick check the invitation to confirm that it's your name and address, so it must actually be you. You shower and dress in the dazzling white gown that's been laid out in your room, and then you follow the instructions that were given explaining where to find the table. As you enter the room, you're surprised to find you're not the only guest. The hostess has invited many people from all walks of life, and everyone gathers around the table to take their seats. Small conversations pop up as people get to know one another. Common interests are discovered. There's a great joy in the banquet hall. Everyone here admires the Queen, is overjoyed to be in her presence. The assembled group is full of kind, loving people, and all are made to feel that they are part of the group. As the night goes on, though, arguments pop up here and there. One person is angry about that his neighbor took too much of the gravy for his potatoes. Another pair begins to argue about whether the crystal that is being used is really the best choice for such an event. And then someone accidentally steps on another person's toes and a yelling match ensues. And the one guy in the back has had a little too much wine and now he's going to belch the alphabet, much to the embarrassment of his table mates. Another woman turns to her neighbor to point out someone else is using the wrong fork on the salad. As you look around at the gathering, you even begin to wonder if you belong here. The meal is so sumptuous, the environment is so luxurious, you doubt if this could possibly be meant for you. What in the world have you done to deserve such a gift? How can you ever repay such generosity? And now that you've conjured up that whole scene in your mind, let's shift a few details and tie it to our gospel reading. The invitation is not from the Queen of England. It is from someone far, far more important. The invitation you receive is actually from the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the one by whom all things were made. And the venue is not some ritzy palace in Great Britain. It is the sanctuary of this very church. And the table is no mahogany beauty. It is our humble altar. And the group of people who has been invited, well, it's everyone around you. Fellow members of this congregation, visitors from other congregations, the whole sainted host of heaven and earth who come together for this foretaste of the feast to come. We gather together today in response to an invitation that Christ has extended. Return to the table. Return to the fellowship that you are a part of as a member of the body of Christ. Return to the joyous communion that we share with one another. In fact, Christ extends this invitation again and again, week after week, as he draws you to his table to feed you and strengthen you and nourish your faith. It is an exceedingly joyous feast. But it doesn't take long to recognize that it is also marred by sin. We are the chosen of God, but we also possess a sinful nature that infects everything. We come to the table with the same people who can't control their children in worship, with the man that smells funny, the woman who sings off key, the friend who failed to keep your secret last month, betrayed you to a mutual acquaintance. You may even wonder if you should really be here. At the Last Supper, Jesus revealed that one of his disciples would betray him. And it rippled through the whole group. Is it I? Each wondered in turn. Am I that messed up that I would do something like that? You may wonder. You may doubt. But Christ has drawn you here, and he serves the banquet up all the same. He offers not just a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. No, it's much, much more than that. He offers you his own body and his own blood. He offers forgiveness of sins and life and salvation in this holy meal. As Luther explains in his explanation of the sacrament in his small catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. This meal takes away your faults. This meal binds you more closely to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and more important, to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This meal covers your sins, strengthens your faith, and nourishes your body to serve God and to serve your neighbor. You belong here because Christ has won your seat at the table. Your baptism is your personalized invitation, and Christ's death and resurrection is the wax seal that authenticates it. No one can claim that you do not belong because your seat is guaranteed in Christ. He has promised it, and his promises are trustworthy and true. We rejoice in all that Christ gives us in the meal we will share. We give thanks for his grace that invites us all to his table, joins us in fellowship with one another, removes our sins, and strengthens and nourishes us for service. And as amazing as this meal is, never forget that it is merely a foretaste of what God has in store for you. This bit of bread and sip of wine is just a teaser for the sumptuous feast that will one day be shared when all the saints of God come together for the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. We live in this crazy now but not yet time, a time when we receive the benefits and the gifts that God has for us today, right now. But we also know that what we experience now cannot hold a candle to what will be on the last day. Today's gifts sustain us and build up our confidence in the feast that is to come. May you rejoice in the gift of Holy Communion, which we will share today, and hold fast to the promise of the full feast to come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.